Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Thanks for listening to DIY for Business. It's Russ and not Greg. Greg is away. We'll say he's on assignment. I like to say that because it's probably that he's playing pickleball, but just didn't show up for the interview. That's what happens with Greg sometimes. No, actually, Greg actually runs a company, and running that company can be like one of those things where it's just like stuff comes up, right? Like it was funny when I first started my business years and years ago. Somebody would say, "Hey, can you go out to lunch, Russ, on Tuesday?" I'm like, "Well, no, I got to work." "Wait, you work on your own. Doesn't that mean you have all the free time in the world?" "No, that doesn't at all. Nope. It means that the customers control my life, and I got to just, I don't know. Sometimes you feel like you're just like working way more when you run your own business. And it's like, should I be doing this? I don't know." Right. So I'm sure a lot of you that are thinking that are going through this. It's a tough one. But here's the thing. There's the whole business life and there's the family life. And that is one of the things that I want to touch on today with my guests. I've got Vance Morris with me. Vance, how's it going?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Yeah. Thank you for joining me. And we're like on a vacation week when we record this. So we record these DIY for Business like way in advance, right? And it's like literally the day after Christmas when we're recording this. And that's actually probably what Greg is probably recovering from a food coma from yesterday. That's how he rolled. doing this, right? Like, so, the podcast is my, one of my little businesses, right? One of my little entrepreneurial things. And there's the whole life balance thing, right? Like, and I want to touch on that with you as one of the things, but there's so many fascinating things to talk to you about. But I want to start there because how do you manage it for yourself? How do you manage the whole running your business, doing all these speeches, doing all these things that you do, and still having time to cook chicken pot pie for your son?
Well, I may work backwards from the way a lot of people work. Is that I plug in all of my time off first on the calendar. So I have a rolling 12 months. So I don't like January 1st plug in all year. I'm plugging in January of 2026, the time off that I want that month.
Oh, okay.
And so I make appointments with myself. And like anything else, if you're not true to your calendar, I mean, you wouldn't blow off an appointment with a prospect or a customer, for God's sakes. So I'm not going to blow off an appointment with myself. So I block out the time that I need. I know generally when my kids' soccer games are going to be. So I know that Mondays and Thursdays after 3 p.m., they're probably going to have a game. So
all right.
Block out Mondays and Thursdays, September and October. Sometimes I'm wrong, but most of the times I'm right. and so I work it that way. I plan, what weekends am I going to New Jersey to see my mother? Plot those in. I plot my personal time first. And yeah, that nice. Has served me very well. Again, working for myself, I'm an early riser. I start my work day at 6 a.m. I go to the gym at 4:30. I'm ready and raring to go in my office, cup and coffee in hand, start at 6. you know, if I wanted to work an 8-hour day, I'd probably wrap up around 2 or 2:30. But, you know, I don't. I usually grab lunch around 11, 15 minutes, read the Wall Street Journal. Sometimes I'll take a nap. Sometimes I won't. And then I'll do 2-3 hours in the afternoon. And by 4, I'm at the grocery store buying groceries and cooking dinner.
Nice. You know, of the 100 or so guests that we've had on the show, I'm going to say I'm so glad I asked you that question, because I feel like that is such a healthy response. Like that's what we should all be doing. I mean, it's hard to get into that zone, but that's a great thing to suggest. So
now I'll tell you, I didn't start that way. it took time to get there. So, I mean, you know, when I first started on my own, this was 17 years ago, I started a carpet cleaning business, and I was it. I was the guy. You know, right. So I was out there cleaning carpet. I out there 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. doing the work, get home. I had to do the billing and the bank deposits and the marketing. And, you know, I might snarf down a can of raviolios or something.
You're right.
then I'm dead to the world and I go to sleep, you know, and I missed a lot of stuff. But I knew that I had to put systems in place so that at some point I could put a manager in that role who could manage the systems and I wouldn't have to do this stuff. So it took some time, but right now I have 3 home service businesses that a general manager is taking care of for me. I think I work about 90 minutes a week in those businesses,
nice.
Cashing checks and kissing babies. Right. Really, all I have to do, and lets me focus on the coaching and consulting that I'm doing.
That's wonderful. That is a wonderful place to get to. It's hard to get to. Once you get there, it's fantastic. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, knowing those businesses, because you know that's one of the things that Greg and I have done over the years. I mean, we've probably, I don't know, there's at least 1,000 businesses in the Bay Area that we've given some advice to. And one of the things that we've always said is in those types of businesses and in many types of businesses, but especially the service business like that, there's the couponing, the sort of race to the bottom, right? Like the people, you know, coming in and they're, you know, you go out and you do a quote and it's like, you know, you've put all this work into, you know, like cleaning carpet, right? Like you go in, you do all this. And at the end of the day, they don't want to accept the quote of you doing their thing. Oh, the guy down the street does it for half that price. I'll give you that. No. Like, so how did you handle that? Cause I think you've got some interesting advice on that.
Well, you know, pricing is the business owner's own head trash. We can't get ourselves around it. You know, a lot of us, we wouldn't pay the prices we charge for that service, but that's just us. You know, I look at it as you know, but your listeners are learning, I worked for the Disney company. And I use this analogy when we have, when we talk about pricing. So if you think of your county fair that rolls into town around the 4th of July. It's, you know, it's got the rickety old rides and it's operated by some ex-cons, maybe even some current cons are running the rides. It's $20. You can ride all day long. You know, I mean, having the thing fall apart, you know, it's half the fun if you think you're going to survive.
Right.
It's $20, but you know what you're going to get. And then the next tier up is like a Six Flags or a Knott's Berry Farm. You know, it's a little bit higher tier. And it's not a whole heck of a lot of theming. You know, the food's probably a little better. Rides are a little more exciting. And you probably pay $60-$70 for that. And then you go to Disney. One-day ticket right now in Orlando. I'm not sure about California, but they're probably pretty close. One-day ticket's about $170 to get into one park one day. Now, I will agree with you that the rides at Disney are less exciting than the rides at Six Flags or your local amusements when they show up for the county fair. I mean, if you took away all of the music and all the dancers from It's a Small World, it's a really boring ride. I mean, you're just going in circles in a little boat. So how does Disney command a price that is 7 or 8 times higher than your county fair? Is it 8 times better? Well, you look at the overall experience and what that price is buying you. It is buying you safety. It is buying you an overall experience. It is buying you efficiency. You know, it is buying you stuff that you're not going to have an ex-con, working and operating, a ride. You know the thing is going to be safe. And so when I started the carpet business, I told myself I am going to be the Disney of carpet cleaners in my area. There are people that will choose to pay for an experience. And that's what we deliver. Yes, we clean carpets, but we also deliver an experience while we're doing it. We create experiences out of everything. We give gifts to our customers before we do any work. I mean, have you ever had a home service guy, HVAC or carpet cleaner or whatever, give you a gift before they did any work?
I haven't had one give me one after either.
that's how you stand out. But so giving a gift, and this is why you can charge higher prices. If you charge higher prices, you can do nicer things for your clients. It's not about just keeping it all and charging the higher prices. It's being able to create the experiences. So we give a gift at the beginning. We walk in the home and we present the customer with a gift. That's nothing extravagant, but it is a true gift. It's not a tchotchke, like a chip clip or something. It's a customized little blue box. And in the box is a bottle of our spot remover, a bag of cookies, and a little note from me saying, thanks for allowing us into your home. Here's my personal cell phone. If you have any problems, give me a call. People are blown away by it. Giving the gift does two things. One, it separates us from everybody else. And two, it starts a process called reciprocity. If I give something to you, you feel compelled to give something back to me. So when we start talking about our packages, we saw a 26% increase in our mid-tier package, which for us was about a $68,000 a year increase in sales just by implementing that little gift.
Right.
If I didn't charge high prices, I would never have been able to implement the gift.
Right. Right. I also feel like I did a big price jump, right? So I was doing my business, like most, right? You started as a side gig, and then once you do that math of like, oh, can I just do this full time? Can I leave my day job? Can I, and I remember going through that math and I was charging less than most so that I could just get into this, so that I could do it. And I started looking and doing price research and, shopping the other companies to see like what they were charging. And I actually set my price probably in the top like 5% or higher even, right, for my business. And I said, well, if I'm able to get, 4 customers a month, I'm good. If I can get 6, I'm happy. If I can get 8, I don't have to worry, I sort of set my pricing in that model. And in doing that, I also thought, there's two things. First of all, I'll be different, I'll stand out, I'll be professional. And there was a sort of a gift. I gave like a planner that I would give to them that was printed out nicely. And I think one thing you said too, that people don't look at as a gift, but my personal cell phone. I gave them that as well. Like, call me anytime. if you have any problem with this, I'm there. And like, that was big. And the nice thing was, the worry, of course, going into that is people are going to be calling you all the time, but I hardly ever got calls, because we did quality service, we followed through and did everything well. But I felt like too, like setting my price in that higher threshold would also give me, first of all, like less stress because I was working less. I wasn't chasing after every dollar. And it also sort of set me above so that, I'm more like, you know, working at the Ritz-Carlton instead of the Motel 6, you know, like I'm working with higher brands and people are going to see that just by looking at the price, which I think is a good thing.
And it takes the same amount of effort to get one prospect or 100 prospects. It doesn't take any more effort. And exactly. So, yeah. You know, I would have, if I only needed one client and I had the highest prices, I mean, there's no competitive advantage to being second cheapest.
Right.
Right. You know, so yeah. go the other way, go high.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're working yourself into the ground if you're doing that too, you know, and it's just, yes, there's more pressure in a way, at least in my head, there was more pressure, to set the price high, but at the end of the day, it all worked, you know, in numbers for me. Like, and I never discounted my price. I never did that. Now, I say that, however, there were people that I would give like referral discounts to. Or
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Personal discounts that I would put in, but there was no, you know, couponing, no like, oh, save 5% today only type of stuff. It was always the price is the price. No matter when you ask, that's the price. And I gave everybody the same price, no matter, you know, what it was or where it was, you know, across the board. So I felt really good about that, but I'm going to, and this something, you know, something you said earlier, the, your own head trash, that's what I got into because I sort of, you know, like you were saying, well, I wouldn't pay this price, you know, like who's going to pay this price? And, you know, there's that like imposter syndrome, which I bring up a lot on the show because I feel like that does impact a lot of business owners. How do you justify in your own head first so that you can feel good about choosing that price?
Well, certainly. I mean, if you're growing a business in which you don't want to be doing everything, you're going to need employees. And the employees are going to need to be paid. And if you want the employees to stay, they're going to need to be well paid and well taken care of. For example, my senior guy has been with me 14 years. In the carpet cleaning world, that is like 72 lifetimes. I mean, it's just unheard of. And my least senior guy has been with me 4 years. Still, that's a lot of lifetimes. My guys get paid very well. They work hard. But like a lot of my competitors, they have to do 6 or 7 jobs a day to get the same revenue that I get in 3 jobs a day. So for me, it's less wear and tear on the vehicles, less wear and tear on the equipment, less wear and tear on the employees. Mm-hmm. So I'm already more profitable just by operational costs. And there's no, I don't have the monthly costs of recruiting. I don't have my guys calling out sick all the time. They actually don't mind coming to work. And we can do nice things for our customers. You know, one of the things we do, our top customer every month or our top 5 customers every month, we send them a cake in the mail. Mm. So Maryland has its own state cake. It's called the Smith Island cake. And I'm about 45 minutes from Smith Island. And so I got a deal with the Smith Island Cake Company. I call them up and I order 5 cakes and they ship them, mail them to my 5 clients. If I were the chief, if I was cheap, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
You know, and it's self-fulfilling. I don't know if that's the right phrase, but you know, once you start this flywheel going, it just gets faster and faster. So, and I'm not saying double your price today, although mathematically you could double your price today, lose half your clients and be more profitable.
Right.
You do it on an Excel spreadsheet. You can do totally. That.
Totally.
Totally. Yeah. Just double your price, lose half your customers, and you're going to be equally as profitable.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a tough move to make, right? Oh, like yeah. Pricing moves are so tough. And it's almost easier to bring it back if you start high and then you scale it down a little bit. That's probably a nice way of testing things. One thing I did, and I just remembered that, like, I forgot that I did this test. I started a competing company. I did a different website and I put different pricing on there, like a higher price. And tested the waters to see if anybody would, you know, use that service at that price. I even sent some like Google ads to it and to see if it would do anything. And until it did something, okay, well, now that's my new price because that one's starting to get. So I did these little tests like that just to see, and that helped me to justify it because, you know, I was nervous about changing prices.
It's also the value you deliver. You know, you're delivering a tremendous, you know, what it is you say you're going to deliver in your customer's eyes has to be of tremendous value. And that value has to outweigh the price. And if you can paint that picture, price is no longer an object. It's irrelevant.
Right. Right. I always thought too, and I mean, you know, this was something that was in my head, and it's of course, you know, should be in people's heads, is getting a new customer is so hard, right? And what you're doing by sending them cakes, you're keeping customers. You're increasing that lifetime value of a customer. Talk a little more about that, about just, so, okay, you know, we could talk all day about, you know, getting new customers and the various tactics and ways of doing that. But instead, yeah, let's talk about keeping new customers and getting more from your current customers.
If you want to grow your business, you got to keep your customers. Because to get a new one, I mean, you know this. I mean, acquiring a new customer is expensive. And if you're going to try and live on always acquiring new, you're going to go broke pretty fast. Like in my carpet cleaning business, it cost me $100, right around $100 to get a new customer in the front door. You know, Google pay-per-click or something. Cost per lead is right around $100. It only cost me $18 to keep them once I got them.
Right.
That's it. So if they clean again with me within a year and I've spent $18, I'm already, what, $82 to the good? Darn it, right. I'm $82 more profitable. So. Right. All your profit comes with the second, third, fourth, fifth service that you're providing these folks. But you've got to nurture them. And, you know, what I constantly remind my coaching members and the clients that I consult with is that it is not your customer's job to remember you. It is your job as a business owner to remind your customers that you exist. You've got to have a customer existence system in place, or what people would normally call a customer retention system. Because if the only time people ever hear from you is when you want to sell them some stuff, well, that's not a very nice relationship, right?
Right.
It's just not cool. And it's not a relationship. It's just it's one way. And I disagree with that philosophy. So, you know, so for in all of my businesses, I have a print newsletter, like real in the mail, U.S. Postal Service. By the way, U.S. Postal Service has a 99.4% deliverability rate. Better than exactly. Any email system right. Out there. Right. So you know the thing's getting through. But I both in my home service businesses and my consulting business, I do a newsletter. And it is designed to create what I call emotional connections with my customers. So it's not designed to talk about the new Suck-O-Matic 3000 and how it can suck all the dirt out of your, you know, it's, you know, and it's got a flux capacitor on it and all that crap. You know, it's not, that's not, nobody cares about what you do any more than you do. You're right. Your customers don't care. They just want clean carpet or whatever. So like I shamelessly use my children in my marketing. So my daughter, she's 17 now. But when she was five, she did ballet. And I would she'd take a picture of her at her recital. And then I put a picture of her in my newsletter. And I did this up until she was like 12. So every year, obligatory picture, recital picture went in. We were in the grocery store one day, and this lady came right up to my daughter, didn't even look at me, right up to my daughter. She goes, "Oh my God, Emma, how was your recital?" And we're looking at each other. My daughter's like, "Daddy, who's this, you know, who's this crazy lady?" And I had to, it took me a minute, and I had to think, it's got to be one of my customers.
Right.
You know, and we've created an emotional connection with her. That lady is not going anywhere. I've got her for life because of that emotional connection. And, you know, that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're building this titanium fence around your customers designed to keep the customers in and your competitors out. And it's as simple as just talking like a human, you know, put a little, you know, I mean, yes, you want to put, you know, some, you know, little articles in there about Valentine's Day or a Sudoku puzzle, but put a little letter in there. Hey, here's some funny things that happened to the family over Thanksgiving. People love reading that stuff.
Totally. You know? Yeah. So, well, yeah, it's a story about people, as I know. A friend of mine would say that about, you know, like when he puts together his newsletter at his company, it's, you know, he always wants a story about people because people like to enjoy, you know, like enjoy reading about other people, which I 100% agree with. Yeah. We can relate to that.
Stupid criminals are great.
Oh,
I've always got a little section for stupid criminal stories. Oh, people love that.
They do. So you get a little humor in there too, a little fun. Yeah. That's good. That's good. And I, you know, the thing I want to dig into that a little bit deeper. But first, I'm going to say your print newsletter thing. It's like, here's the other thing. Aside from a 99 point whatever deliverability rate for the USPS, you've also got like a mind share, market share. Like, because how many people are doing that? Right. Like people are not sending print anymore. I get less and less mail these days. And so that means I pay more and more attention to the mail that I get. So when I get a letter from somebody I got a letter from somebody that wanted to like redo our windows, you know, and it was like, it was clearly, you know, auto-generated fake handwriting thing, but I remembered the company later. I got that little, it was a little impression that I remembered. Now, I don't know how many, because guess what? All my emails, I don't know how many people have contacted me that way. Everything's gone into spam. So it is nice to do that old school print thing and just get in there. It's like, you know, the market share I think is great for that. So I'm a big proponent of that. Plus it helps the print shop stay in business, which is good too.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And I think, and I know exactly, this is probably I keep all the marketing stuff. It's probably the same company.
Gotcha. There you go. That same sort of thing. Exactly.
Doing that. And I don't know what companies, I'm trying to find a company because the idiots don't use the back of the paper for anything. Not that that helps your podcast listeners, but yeah, I mean, it's just because, you know, you gotta, with email, it's so easy to, it's just click, delete, or you set up a filter, or the Google gods have already decided that it's spam and you never see it. At least with mail, you get the thing in your hands and you look at it and you've got to make a conscious decision whether you're going to throw it away or you're going to open it. So that's totally half the battle right there.
Yeah. Well, it counts as an impression, right? Like you got at least people remembered you, because as you said, it's not their job to think about you. It's your job to get them to think about you on occasion and when they need your services. I want to get into the emotional connection a little bit. I feel like I do this podcast and it's almost like it should just be a psychology podcast, because so much of what we talk about just layers into like the old psychology podcast that I used to do. But it's the emotional connection, right? You mentioned that, and it's like, you know, you've got photos of your daughter, you've got personal stories in there, you've got things that help that personal connection. And then you look at a company like Disney, right? And I have an emotional connection with Disney, right? When you first sent me an email and you mentioned, you know, Disney secrets and Disney marketing, it's like, just because you said Disney made me feel good about you. You know, like it's got that little, you know, like that effect of just, you know, kind of rubbing off onto other people even. And, you know, when you think Disney, like I go back instantly, like, oh, walking down Main Street, you know, as a kid and then with my kids and, you know, like the smells and the sights and the feeling. Like, of course, people have got to be genuine. Like, that's going to be the number one bit of advice here. But let's talk about other ways to help create that emotional connection with a company. What are some other things that you've done?
Sure. Great question. So, you know, certainly it's the people. The number one reason that guests come back to Disney is the Disney cast members.
Right.
Number one reason. And when I worked at Chef Mickey's, you know, we had servers there that had been with the company 25 years. And we would have guests come up and, you know, we could seat them right away in somebody else's station, but they wanted to sit in Judy's station. Only Judy waits on us when we come for vacation.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And we would say, well, Judy's got a full station right now. It's going to be, you know, an hour and a half. That's okay. We'll wait for Judy. but I right. find the same thing in, you know, in the other businesses where I have employees is, you know, I've got Stephen, who's been with me 12 years. He, you know, there are people that only want Stephen in their home. He has made on his own, has made an emotional connection somehow, either through the stories he's told about his family, because I encourage my guys to, you know, be human in front of our customers. You know, not that I want you to give them your shoe size or stuff like that, but just be human. Say, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. I had a rough morning with the dog or, you know, whatever, but, you know, just don't be all business. And most of my guys have regular customers. And I think even B2B people, I mean, people do business with people. They don't do business with businesses, you know? Right. So if you're still doing, you know, with a purchasing manager, well, it's still a human. He hasn't been replaced yet. And so, you know, what are you doing to encourage that relationship? You know, when I go to speak at these big conferences, I bring gifts for the people that are sitting there at the table doing the check-ins, you know, because that's where right. I go. I have to check in as a speaker, and that's, you know, so I check in with them. But they're handling right. thousands and thousands of people. They're
going to be the one they remember, though.
They're unsung, and I bring them a basket of, you know, fruit and chocolate and stuff, and they'll go in the back and share it with the rest of the team. But, you know, they remember me. They're usually a little nicer to me than they are the rest of the speakers. But it's just and so I've created that emotional connection with them. You know, I share certain things about my background because I know that I'll create some kind of connection with a member of the audience. So I joke that I've been, you know, married 3 times. Why do I do that? Because I know somebody in the audience has been divorced. So now I've got a connection with them. I talk about my dog because I know there are people in the audience that have dogs. You know, and so there are things like that, that I intentionally talk about because now I have connected with 10 different segments of my audience just by mentioning little parts of my life. You know, oh yeah, I'm a Star Wars nerd. Okay, well, maybe there's one guy in the audience that, you know, but you know,
I'm about to show you my Star Wars stuff behind me, but yeah.
Oh yeah, oh, I got it. I got the Death Star Lego set last year for Christmas.
God, oh, that's awesome.
So good. so good. At any rate, so, I mean, it's just finding little points of commonality.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're a service provider, you know, HVAC, plumber or anything, and you go in and, you know, there's obviously kids in the home, you know, tell them something, you know, funny that one of your kids did in the last week. Just be human.
Right. And also, I think be curious.
Yeah.
Right. Like one thing I do, if I'm going to speak somewhere, I do improv, right? So I love doing that. Getting on a stage, throwing a microphone at me and performing in front of people is like, so much fun. I love it. But, one thing I do before improv, and I also do this before I'm going to do any kind of speaking, is I work the crowd a bit that it's going to be in attendance. Right. And I just chat with them and tell them what I'm going to be doing. Hey, I'm going to be speaking on this topic tonight. I want to make sure I'm doing a good presentation. Is there anything about that you've always wanted to know or, you know, whatever. And then I can, during the speech, I can say, you know, Vance wanted to talk to me about, you know, attracting lifetime customers. And I'm so glad that he's here. And I'm sure that's a lot of you that want to talk about that. And then just get right into it. You know, it's like, we're in improv, you know, I'll ask people like how they met and I'll just work little things into a scene. Oh, we met at a pizza place, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And all, you know, if all of a sudden, if the scene's at a pizza place, they're coming back next time. You know, they're going to pay attention. They're going to enjoy it. So it's that listening thing. And it doesn't have to be when you're just speaking or when you're, you know, doing something on a stage, like just every day, right? Like you said, you know, people do business with people and asking questions, listening, being curious. And the problem sometimes gets to be, you know, like it says on your website, you've helped over, you know, 1,100 businesses. That's a lot to remember, but that's what the, you know, the CRMs are for, right? Like notate that stuff, keep that on your system so that, you know, your CRM can also be, you know, customer retention, not just customer relationship. Right.
So, well, you know, and that's the thing, you know, I mean, you know, so like Ritz Carlton, keeps track of all of their guests. They have a file on all of their guests. And if they, you know, call in once and, you know, say something, it's a request. If they call in twice for the same thing, it's now a preference and it's noted in the file. So they'll make sure that before the guest arrives, whatever that is, happens. So in my carpet biz, we do something similar. We have an entire profile that we fill out. Do they have a dog or do they have a cat? So that when it comes time to sending a postcard to them, we send the dog postcard to the dog owners. We don't send it to the cat owners. Right. So there's all sorts of stuff. You know, are there children in the home? Or, you know, what are the, you know, we go through a whole list of things so that we can semi-personalize the, you know, the marketing that we're sending out. Sometimes people do not use their CRM to the fullest extent that they can.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole personalization thing is great. I mean, when you can do that, like we, you know, I, I hate to share numbers that we do over. That's why I work with a company called Beeswax. And, you know, we did an email and we got like a 60% open rate or something like that, which because of personalization, you know, like if you personalize things and you're sending it to that specific person, you're saying things that, you know, resonate with them. Your open rate, your click rate, your, you know, like the amount of like activity that's going to happen because of that is just so much greater, right? Like you were saying, like the front of the envelope, don't leave the front of the envelope blank. You know, you put something in there. Like why send out a blank piece of paper? You know, you can, if you have a picture of a cat on there for the cat owners or, you know, whatever.
It's cheap.
Exactly. Utilize it, right? Ink a little bit more on the front cover is not going to cost that much more, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I love the personalization thing too. So you mentioned your business, but we've talked a lot about the cleaning business. I want to talk a little about the consulting businesses.
Sure.
Or the business and what you do there. So if somebody's listening and you know, they're if they've listened to any of what you've said so far, it's all been fantastic advice. And so I'm sure they're going to want to get more. So what do you do as a part of your consultation package to people?
Well, that's a great question. Thanks for asking. So I've got a number of different facets to it. I've kind of got an entry level. I produce a 24 page newsletter. It's almost more like a magazine, just packed with customer experience and marketing strategies and tactics. And, you know, that's produced every month. I have a group coaching, which is great for established businesses, again, around the customer experience, customer retention. Included in that is actually a done-for-you customer retention system in a box. So every month I send you a complete newsletter. Already done. All I got to do is put a stamp on it and mail it out. A postcard and weekly emails. So if you're thinking to yourself, I don't have time to put a newsletter together. Well, you know what? I already got it done for you. All you got to do is put your logo on it and send it out. Now, I would recommend that you like tweak it a little bit and personalize it because we are trying to make emotional connections. But if you're lazy and you just want to send it out just to get it out the door, you can do that. So yeah, we've got quite a few people taking advantage of that. Also run a high level mastermind. So for people that have been in business a while and are really looking to, exponentially increase and really make the quantum leap to the next level of their business, that would be great. And then the fun thing that I get to do that I absolutely love is I take business groups down to Disney in Orlando for 3 and 4 day full immersion boot camps. So we'll spend half the day in the classroom and half the day in the parks. And we learn essentially how Disney makes the sausage. I do private guided tours through the parks. We talk to different people at Disney. And at the end of it, you have a blueprint to Disneyfy your business. So those are kind of the four main components to my coaching and consulting.
Do they get to talk to the mouse? You know, the head chief.
Sometimes the mouse has gotten he commands quite a fee for appearance.
I would say so.
It used to be palatable. But since COVID, that fee has gotten a little silly.
Yeah. Do they have the animatronic one there now that like is actually talking? Or no, they don't have that yet. Okay. Yeah. If I heard they were testing that, and I hadn't heard more about it.
Haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool. Like to actually have a voice behind those, the characters as they're walking. Like, wow. Because that's so much fun. And like, you know, well, speaking of Star Wars, because I thought the fun thing that you were going to say, not the boot camp, but I thought you were going to say the putting together the Death Star thing from last year. Because
that was incredible.
But the fun thing is walking around the Star Wars areas and having the stormtroopers and stuff talk to you, you know, like that's pretty cool.
That is probably by far the best full immersion theme park ever. Yeah. I mean, it's very, the Harry Potter world at Universal is a close, very close second. Mm-hmm. But no, the Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's, you know, you take five steps in, the rest of the world just melts away and you're in the movie. That's just
totally
unreal. Yeah. All the way down to the blue milk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was amazing. We went to the opening year here in Anaheim. It was 2019, and it was just like, wow, this is like, I'm walking on a movie set. I'm walking in Star Wars. I'm like, what is this? This is crazy. And to see like as I curve the corner and I see, you know, I'm blanking on the Millennium Falcon. I see that. It's like, it's there. It's great to see it in person.
You know, the business lesson there, Russ, the business lesson is creating an environment for the sale to happen. So we all have to create our own. Disney has created an environment where price resistance is completely eliminated. I mean, you go to Disney and you're going to spend $79 for a rubber ball that you could get at Walmart for 10 bucks.
Right.
Because you're at Disney and, well, you can't get a Millennium Falcon rubber ball anywhere else. So you're going to get it there for $79. We got to do the same thing in our businesses. How do you create an environment where the outside world completely melts away and you cannot be compared? Your service cannot be compared to anyone else's. Nobody can compare my carpet cleaning to any other carpet cleaner because nobody else does what it is I do. Right. So, you know, we talk about Disney and you know, everybody, well, I'm not Disney. I don't have a roller coaster. I don't have a theme park. Why are we trying to copy them? Well, you're not trying to copy them. You're trying to adapt what Disney does into your own business. And just that full immersion, you know, is just a key business lesson, because that alone will get you that price elasticity that will help you raise your prices.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you don't need a roller coaster or a billion-dollar ride to give surprise and to make somebody say, wow.
I mean, it helps, but...
Oh, it does. It does, definitely. All right, well, and if somebody wants to reach out to you to either, do the to get your newsletter or do some of the coaching or even go on the Disney Bootcamp, where do they get
at? Best place is my website, deliverservicenow.com. I got a big button on there. It says free stuff. So you can go on there and get a download of my book. I do a 3-day-a-week newsletter. It's also free. It's always got a good story in there and actionable business tactics.
Awesome. Well, Vance, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, man, it's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed myself, Russ. Thank you.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I was resisting the Disney thing. I didn't want to get into it right away, but you know, it's kind of like, I kind of geek out about it a little bit. It's such a, I geek out about it, about the Disney thing, but also just how great they are at the whole marketing aspect of branding and just like the excellence level of their messaging is just amazing. So
that's a whole nother podcast.
Exactly. Yeah, we could get into that another time for sure. Well, yeah, thank you for joining me. And for those of you listening right now, thank you for listening, subscribing, and reviewing DIY for Business. Don't forget those 5 stars. We had that little issue on, you know, whatever, Spotify. It's all straightened out. If you don't see stars, don't listen to that one. There's two of us on there for a little bit. We corrected that. So make sure you're listening to the one with stars. And, you know, if you see those stars, you might want to add some, you know, just hit the 5-star button and review us. Because you know what? Well, we can make this show about you. Yes, the subjects that we cover on this podcast are selected with the goal of helping your business grow. And all of the information provided is opinion based. And you might want to consult a professional to discuss your exact business situation. We want your company to succeed. And we are happy to take your questions. We also would love to hear your suggestions for future episodes. So just head over to our website, DIYForBusinessPodcast.com, and you can leave us your questions, leave us your suggestions, or sign up to be a guest. We thank you again for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business, where you are not alone.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.